Thanks for tuning in to episode 2 of the Keto Matrix podcast. Brittany and I in this episode have the pleasure of speaking with Lauren Borden, a corporate career and life coach working and living in Manhattan, who shares her keto journey as it relates to so many different topics, including but not limited to anxiety, acne in keto, medications, and her first cheat day. I promise you this is an episode you don't want to miss. Let's jump
into the Keto Matrix podcast, where myths are busted, science is explained, and the keto lifestyle is discussed by industry experts and everyday people alike. For more information and support, go to theketomatrix.com. Now, let's jump into our latest episode.
So I know today I'm super excited. We've been waiting forever to finally get Lauren on. I think she has a super impactful story. And before we keep people listening to us for too long, without them realizing there's a third person on, I figured maybe we should introduce her.
Yes. So I'm excited to have Lauren, mostly because she's one of the only guests that I knew first.
True story. We'll go with that.
But no, Lauren, I actually knew from the gym when she lived in Akron. And she has since moved away, but we kind of like kept in touch over social media a little bit, and she is now in New York City and working there, and I don't totally understand what her job is. It always sounds cool, but then it's also like way above my head, so I'm gonna let her describe what that is and kind of talk about how she got into keto. But Lauren Borden is joining us this evening.
Thanks, Brittany. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. So
we're
I know we sent you a list of questions, and you also know how I feel about having things prepared ahead of time. So feel free to throw that list in the garbage, because this is going to kind of like free flow through things.
I'm cool with that. Yeah, I like flying by the seat of my pants. So
it's the only way we do it.
I mean, technically, my question kind of stayed with the list of questions. It wasn't totally thrown out the window.
It did. It was basically just background. But yeah, and to be fair, my job, my parents don't even know what my job is, so don't feel bad about that.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. This is the opportunity. So you work for the CIA, and you can tell us all about it now, right?
I know.
Or if you tell us, do you have to kill us after? How does that work?
Sorry, what?
If you tell us, do you have to kill us after?
I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you. No, that would be so much cooler than probably what I'm actually doing. That would sound like super, super, like cutting edge and stuff. No, but I work for Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. I work in organizational development and leadership development. So I run leadership development trainings. I also do consulting on the side, and I work as a life and career coach. So,
wow, yeah. Sounds like a full plate.
Yeah, it's a lot going on, but there's a lot of variety, and I really love all the different aspects of the work that I do. So
that's cool. Were you doing all of that stuff ahead of time, or did the Empire State of Mind kind of bite you when you moved to New York?
You know, it was all ramping up before I moved here. And then when I moved here, I think this just gave me like I think there's like a certain energy of living in Manhattan where it's a little bit infectious, and it's kind of hard not to adopt a lot of that, mentality where it's like, go, go, go. So yeah, it's been good though. It's particularly picked up since I moved to the city, but I'm loving it. So.
Awesome. So is New York City everything you imagined it would be?
It is. You know, I'll admit there was a little bit of an adjustment period. Like, it's as someone who really values her alone time, and I actually consider myself to be kind of an introvert, it was a little bit of an adjustment initially, because it's like there are so many humans. There are just so many humans all the time. And you really
especially with the number of roommates you have too, right?
Yeah. Well, I have a really sweet apartment. My apartment's like 3,000 square feet, but we have a ton of space, but there are 6 of us, which is a very typical like New York City kind of situation. It feels a little bit like the loft in New Girl, the TV show.
Very cool.
Or if you want to get super old school Friends.
Yeah, be careful there, okay? It's not super old.
I know, I'm joking. It's not. That was like most of my... my like young adult life was that show, so it's I'm dating myself a little bit, but yeah, so it's yeah, it took a little bit of an adjustment, and then I got, you know, I kind of got used to it, and now it's the energy of the city is kind of infectious, and there's always something going on, so I'm loving the part. Yeah,
that's awesome. Absolutely cool. So why don't you kind of give us a little bit of an idea of, you know, how you came across keto, why all those great things. I know Brittany has a part to play in all of that.
She does. I almost said, like, the reason that we know each other is literally because we were, like, running next to each other on the treadmills. And I think I looked at her and I was like, yeah, you're really fast. Like, you know, it's probably my opener.
She's a gazelle.
Yeah. Gazelle would not be quite how I would describe it, but thank you. Thank you for that.
rock star on the treadmill and with the running. But yeah, so Brittany totally plays a role in that. But there's the very beginning of it probably was that a few years ago, I was really embedded in like the paleo diet. And that community slowly started shifting over to keto, or like their attention started being drawn to keto. Like, so a lot of the main influencers and people like bloggers and people who were involved in that community suddenly started talking about keto. So it's been on my radar since then. And I've listened periodically to different podcasts and things like that. But it was never really on my radar seriously, just because I saw it as being like, I just thought it sounded really hard. I was like, there's just no way that's going to happen. And, then my brother started doing it. And that was back in actually like January when I moved in, he was doing keto. Okay. And he was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. You should totally try it. And I was like, yeah, I'm not giving up carbs. That's not happening. And then kind of got further into like diet and exercise land and just was quickly realizing that my body wasn't responding the way I wanted it to. My energy was kind of crappy. I wasn't feeling particularly like focused. I kind of had this perpetual brain fog thing happening, and my weight like wasn't budging, regardless of how I was approaching my exercise. And then checked in with Brittany a few months ago and just saw you posted like a photo or something after some sort of an event, and I it hadn't been that long since I'd seen you. And I basically looked and I was like, what the heck has she been doing? Like, this doesn't even make sense. This defies the laws of physics. So yeah, I ended up reaching out to you and I was just like, Brittany, what are you doing? And you were like, it's keto. And I was, that sort of shifted my thinking a little bit. ended up setting up, you put me in contact with your friend here. that was just one thing led to another, and I was just like, I kind of went from being like, no, that's never gonna happen, to being all in like very fast.
Very fast. I was shocked when he told me. He's like, yeah, she reached out. I was like, I like just gave her your information.
Oh yeah, I think I reached out within 12 hours. I think I
Wow, same day. That's committed. That's great. Yeah usually it's like two or 3 days at least before someone.
I knew I like wanted to talk to you at the very least, and especially just because given how frustrated I was with my current situation, I was working out twice a day. I was monitoring my food. I was doing this like this cycle of being very, very strict, eating like cleanly because I was really trying to lean out. I'd put on some weight when I was defending my dissertation, and it just wasn't coming off. Like it was like I'd have, you know, I'd usually probably cheat like once every 10 days, which in retrospect was probably the issue. but everybody tells you when you're doing that, like, oh, it's fine to cheat like once a week. It's like, just have a cheat meal. And yeah, so it just, I was really frustrated. So I was like, yeah, like, let's just get the show on the road. Like, I want answers. So I moved fast.
So I think the biggest question I have from all of that you just said, which was great insight, but what was it that made you say, oh yeah, no way I'm giving up carbs?
That's a good question. There were so many elements of that. I think part of it was like self-doubt that, you know, wondering if I could actually do it. Another element of it is that I think I'm constantly, or was, not really so much anymore, but was constantly doing this internal battle between being like, oh, well, moderation, you know, and like flexible dieting and you know, kind of giving yourself that leeway. And I think I saw living that kind of life as being kind to myself. Yeah. And so in my mind, keto was restrictive. I also didn't think it was conducive to a long-term, it was a long-term solution to anything. So I just didn't really take it that seriously. I also kind of thought it was like a fad. I was like, oh, this is something that girls do or people do to drop weight fast. And then as soon as they start eating carbs again, it comes back. That was kind of my mentality at that point.
Cool. I like it. I think that, I don't know. I know I can definitely relate. You know, when I started this whole thing, I never thought that I'd be here having this conversation with people about their life change with keto. And I definitely didn't think I'd be doing it, you know, year after year. Like, it's crazy. And I'm a fat kid at heart. Like, I think Brittany knows this more than most. Man, I love some donuts and cake and brownie and lasagna bread and pretzels and French fries and all these magical things that I no longer eat. So, Brittany, how about you? I mean, I feel like you were kind of in the same boat, right? Like, you never really wanted to start. I was working on Brittany for a really long time.
I, for the longest time, was like, heck to the no, dude, you're crazy. Like, there's a lot of the things that he had tried up to that point that I was like, oh, I can at least try it. Like, the whole intermittent fasting thing, I did that for a little bit, mostly because it meant I got to eat whatever during the, like, eating window. So I was like, absolutely. But even with that, I kind of did not do well with that. I was really moving more and more towards, actually a vegetable based diet, for a long time. And so every time he would say, hey, you should try this. And I was like, dude, that's like the exact opposite of what I'm doing right now. And not that I ever had any intention of giving up meat altogether. I just, had done, more like cutting out gluten and dairy several different times, and not that I noticed, like, when I introduced those things back, I didn't notice a difference with gluten or dairy. I noticed when I brought back in the sugars.
Yeah, for sure.
And so, like, I, similar to you, I was like, but moderation is key, because if it's too strict, I won't be able to sustain it. And that was the biggest thing for me with keto, was I didn't think that it would be something that was sustainable. I still have my days where I'm like, how is this going to work? Get different events and different things coming up and planning life. But, the more you're in it, the more you realize how doable it is. No, it's not always super fun to be the one at the party that doesn't eat the chips and all the deliciousness. But you also realize how much of your life was probably centered around food as your socialization, and just trying to find ways to work around that and to have quality time without making that be centered around food.
Yeah, I think it was Lauren. I think I told you the other day, I said, man, I'd like to do like a year, like a solid year with absolutely no sugar, because we know my cheat days are epic and they're heavily sugar involved. And I don't know that I'm there yet. I want to do it, but I'm still kind of.
I am not. I will tell you, I am not joining you in that venture. Yeah, not there.
Yeah. But at the same time, I'm kind of like, man, a year. I don't know. I feel the same way I felt when I was going to embark on doing keto. I'm like, I don't know, man. 12 months with absolutely no sugar is kind of like, give me my crack.
Wait. So while we're on kind of not the same topic, but what happened to carnivore cut?
Okay, so that's a very, very long story, but basically,
okay, well, maybe we'll do another podcast on that.
Yeah. With the changes that I had going on in life right now, like my crazy 84 hour plus work week every other week, I needed to be able to load up my fats and use some things like MCT oil and mayonnaise and things to really load that. And it's really, really limited in doing that with just meat, as well as meat is absolutely amazing. I'll never say anything differently from that, but it still puts a certain amount of metabolic stress on your body to break down the quantity of meat that I was eating, and not feel that drain when you're working third shift overnight. So I really wanted to put some things in that had a higher level of bioavailability that could really pass through the brain cell barrier to impact my mitochondria, keep my energy up, and not go through the level of digestion necessary when I was able to eat. So I had to add some things to, I had to add some arrows to my quiver. That's the only reason why I kind of put a pause button on that. But I'm still not eating like any of that starchy stuff and broccoli and regular vegetables.
Yeah, I've only added things in.
Yeah, right. No. So I'm just doing more of like your MCT oils, avocado oil, things that I wasn't even using before to kind of get those things in, which you've seen lately, like my fats have been out of this world.
I know your carbs have also been way up there for you, but that's because you're macadamia nuts.
Yeah, yeah. Gotta love those nuts, man.
You know I love me some macadamia nuts.
Dude, those things are like those. I thought about it the other day. I was like, we were talking about shirt ideas. And I was like, I need one that just says bacon, guacamole, and nut macadamias. Those are pretty much like food, basic food group.
They don't even, macadamia nuts are so far ahead of those other two for me. My shirt would just say macadamia nuts on it.
Which, you know, we'll do a food pyramid shirt. Then we'll just put macadamia as the base and then the other fats in there.
Yeah.
That would be perfect.
Yeah, maybe we'll do that.
Something about those things, yeah.
All right, well, so
I like avocado in the form of guacamole is what I should really specify, but I do like avocado just in general. But yeah.
Very cool. All right, so how long have you actually been keto now, Lauren?
So I guess my first, like, my entry into it started like May 28th or something. So I think I'm 10 weeks. I think I'm at 10 weeks now.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, I think because last week was my first cheat, and that was the 9-week mark. Yeah.
Oh, first cheat. Let's talk about it. How'd that go?
Oh, my gosh.
First off, how badly were you looking forward to this cheat?
It was like, you know when you're a little kid and you're looking forward to Christmas Day?
Dude, the day before cheat is worse than the day before Christmas as a little kid.
That's the thing. Multiply that times about a million. Like, I couldn't sleep. I was, like, in between meetings and stuff, I was on my phone planning out what I was going to do. I was making lists. I made like an Instacart, like grocery order that was way more than I care to admit. and yeah, just like was in like a frenzy. And it was, I didn't like that part. I really checked in with myself and I was like, This is really dominating my thoughts more than I want it to. So that in and of itself was a huge learning thing for me, like seeing how, like reintroducing this kind of suddenly had this giant pull on me. Like I was like suddenly an addict, or that's what it felt like. I was like, I don't want this to be dominating that much of my thoughts, but it was. So it was really a journey in that sense, because it started with this like, oh my gosh, it's cheat day and I'm so excited about it. And then, yeah, couldn't sleep the night before, woke up the day of, like, the moment I stirred, I was like, I'm getting out of bed because I want some Nutella. Because I've been watching my roommates with their, they literally have a, I'm not even kidding, they have a jumbo jug, not jug, tub is the word I'm looking for, tub of Nutella that they just sit there and they dip things in. And, like, I would just have to sit there and watch and be like, yeah, I'm doing keto, I'm not eating Nutella anymore.
That sounds incredibly healthy, by the way.
Oh, yes.
Is your brother still doing keto?
He is, yeah. Okay. Well, which has been wonderful also doing it with him, too, because it's, like, just an added, like, support and someone to kind of, like, bounce ideas off of and talk to. But, yeah, so I wake up, I'm like, I'm getting some Nutella. So I get in, get up, and I'm dipping. First I go in with a spoon, and then I've got, like, a baguette, and I'm, like, dipping it into the Nutella, and I'm eating it. And I'm probably, I want to say it took me a minute and a half. And it's like, I got hit with a headache. I started feeling nauseous. I started like, it was very reminiscent of that feeling when you were a little kid and you ate like the whole bag of candy. Like you were like an entire bag of Sour Patch Kids. And at the end, you're just like, oh, I made a mistake. It was like that, but it took my body way less time. And so it went from being like, oh my gosh, yay, I'm eating this food that I wanted for like 10 weeks to me being like, what have I done? And kind of curling up on the floor and being like, oh no. But at that point I was it was kind of strange because my association or my relation to it changed pretty dramatically at that point. Cause it was like, at that point it just became about, okay, like these are the things that I've been craving. And so for my sanity, I'm going to have some of them, like, so that I could say that I did. But instead of having it be enjoyable, it was literally, I felt like I was hanging on for dear life. Like, my body just really did not like it. And at the end of the day, I was super tired. And the next day was just like, I think the biggest thing that I felt and that surprised me, like, I mean, day one, it became clear that my body was not happy with the sugar. Like, it was not a fan.
you were like instant diabetes.
Yeah, like, had ceased to be able to tolerate sugar. Like, it was just not. And I'm someone who's had a sweet tooth since I was a little kid. Like, all I want is chocolate. And it was so confusing to me to, like, have a bite of chocolate and be like, that tastes good, but I hate it. Also, like, I don't know why, but I don't want to eat it. Like, it was such, like, incredible internal conflict. And then the next day, I think the thing that hit me the most and that carried over through the week was, like, the impact on my mood. So,
That.
So I've talked to both of you about this. So one of the – honestly, I think the thing that's made keto absolutely worth every ounce of self-restraint and work or whatever, every ounce of adjustment has been made – worth it by the fact that my anxiety is basically cured at this point. Like, I've always been anxious and, like, had a tendency towards not, like, full-blown depression, but just kind of moodiness, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety, and it's gone. Like, it's literally gone. And a large part of that too was getting rid of caffeine, which you also had me do, which I appreciate, which I'm grateful for. But so cheating, my mood was just, like, rattled. Like, I was anxious. I was, like, snappy. Like, normally I'm pretty patient with people and, like, very, like, if anything, overly agreeable. And I, like, didn't want to talk to anyone. And honestly, it took until yesterday. I'd say it took until Thursday, the Thursday after the Saturday I cheated, to, like, really shake it. And like last night I was on my way home from a workout and that's when I started feeling more like myself. Like I was like, okay, I'm kind of like feeling like I'm in a groove and stuff, but it took like
a week.
It took about a week, for everything to regulate. So I think that was like the most shocking thing, was seeing like how my psychological state shifted just because of sugar and like all these foods that I used to eat all the time. And now my body is just like, nope, we're not
going to
work for me.
So one of the things I guess I don't want to like glaze over, and Brittany, I know you could attest to this, but I feel like there's so many people that suffer from, I don't want to necessarily call them mood disorders, right? But like the depression and anxiety. And I mean, I know anger management is probably one of those things I work through every day, but, you know, I always tell people like weight loss is the least of all the benefits from keto. could you attest to that?
Yes, that's the thing that I see is the sustaining factor in all this. Like, I think getting super lean or leaning out is wonderful, but at the end of the day, it's like that's really not what it's about. It's about like your ability to enjoy your life and be present, and that for me has been the biggest shift of all of this. And now, especially having had a cheat and seeing like, oh, it is the keto. This isn't just that you're settling into your life. This isn't just that, like, some other factor. Like, this is literally, like, the keto is the defining factor. Makes me, you know, I'm confident that this is a lifestyle now, just because of how, like, it's just total night and day in terms of my well-being.
Cool. So, I don't, with retrospect, now that you've come 10 weeks, you've had your cheat, you've kind of started this all, what would you say are like your biggest aha moments and takeaways from kind of having gone through that all and looking back through it all?
Oh, man. I think realizing how much of my day was, and like life in general, revolved around food and planning it and thinking about it and what am I going to eat and then eating the wrong thing and then feeling guilty about it or whatever. That was a huge piece of it. And I think keto has really helped me like gain a healthier perspective on the food thing. Like it's fuel. And I still have moments, don't get me wrong. Like you can back me up on this. I've had plenty of moments where I'm like, can we just add like miracle noodles or something. Like, I just,
no way.
You know, like, so that's still an ongoing thing for me, but it's so much, I have it so much more, it's like I have a healthier relationship with it, and it's like at a healthier distance. So that's the first piece. Other like epiphanies, I think another one was the mood thing. I mean, I think that like I've made that part pretty clear. I'm drawing a blank here. Can you think of anything else that I've said that's been like,
I mean,
confidence has been huge. Sorry. So like feeling like, this confidence in this one area of my life. So being able to make empowered decisions around food and feel more in control of like, of my body and when, you know, when I want to lean out versus when I want to not, like that kind of being able to introduce that element of control has like trickled over into other areas of my life where I literally feel myself being more confident in other scenarios, like being more direct at work, being more real with people, and being more like present for a lot of different types of interactions where before I would have been like checked out and thinking about, you know, all of the things that like, I'm not explaining this well, but like thinking about like food choices or thinking about like what was going on with my body or why I didn't really feel particularly well, like taking that off the table has made me more confident and more present to like actually experience things.
No, yeah, true story. I mean, I think Brittany and I can both agree that our emotional connection with food and the kind of like our desire to eat certain things at certain times, we've definitely become a lot more aware of, more than like ever before. So yeah, being able to not have that focus on, you know, how does this situation make me feel and the thought process of what I'm going to eat, because it may just not be on the table at all. Like the fact that I could really go for a chicken parm and or lasagna with meatballs right now, it's not even something I can think about because it's not an option. But I could totally go for it. Okay, so cool.
One
having
other
said that,
perk that you've mentioned, Lauren, was you posted the other day about the difference you've seen in your skin and the hormonal changes.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So that's been huge. So I almost wish I had like kind of photo, but I used to have some really horrible cystic acne all along my jawline that was definitely hormonal. And when I started working with you, I was on a number of different medications for controlling that had really helped with it a lot. It wasn't totally gone, but I was on a ton of a drug called spironolactone. In addition to like anti-anxiety medication and all this other stuff that I've already mentioned. But
how many medications do you think you're off of now? Like how many were you on total?
Was on 1, 2, 3. Are we including the stuff I was putting on my skin? So like, I think including the two topicals I was on 5 different medications.
And how many are you on now?
0.
Wow.
I'm on nothing. Well, actually, my spironolactone, that was the thing. So about a month ago, my spironolactone prescription ran out. And I was like, well, let's see what happens. Like, if it starts creeping back, and it didn't. Like, if anything, it got better. My scarring faded. I'm literally just doing a combination of, like if I use a cleanser on my face, it's usually Beauty Counter. And when I put something on top, it's the Young Living essential oils. Just like frankincense and lavender, and that's done wonders. You were right, did wonders for the scarring. So that's
very
pretty
cool.
Crazy. Yeah.
Cool.
My hair's gotten curly again.
Talk about that. I mean, obviously I have a thing for hair.
Yeah, so I was actually like Brittany, I went through a phase where I was like playing with veganism, and I was like, let's see what happens if I go plant-based, and my hormones got totally weird. And my hair got straight. Like, I used to have seriously, like, I had ringlets. Legitimate ringlet curls. And they, like, loosened out and were, like, wavy and acting really strange. So I started straightening it more just because it was acting up. And would sort of periodically go back and try to wear it curly. And I was like, my curls are literally gone. And since going on keto, they've been slowly coming back.
I gotta ask. I mean, because I feel there's other people that are wondering. Like, I could not imagine my life without beef. Like, I just couldn't. I'll be honest. Like, I, no matter anything I've ever looked at, health and nutrition, my thought process was never, let me eat vegetables. Right? Like, that's just me, though. So, what was it about?
You can just eat a lot more vegetables for a lot less calories. So, it wasn't that I didn't want to, like, eat meat ever again. I would eat meat when I would go out to dinner or whatever, but it was cheaper and easier to make, like, prep stuff for me during the week and to just make it all up, and then I would have meat when I went out. I'd totally put down a burger or tacos or whatever, but when I was cooking on the day-to-day basis, it was just easier for me to make a lot of the more plant-based meals. But I still did a lot of dairy, because for me that would be harder to give up than the meat.
The dairy was hard. It wasn't sustainable for me.
So really, like they were just like, hey, easy food. So you guys were like, ah, cool, I'm all. Let's try vegan.
That's not why I did it. I did it so my brother's girlfriend is a vegan. And she was talking about it and how wonderful she felt on it. And I kind of was like, first of all, that's like the one diet I haven't really tried, aside from keto, interestingly. The other element of it was I started reading up more about the food industry and like the way that animals are treated and like just the like mass farming like food industry. And I'm sure there's actually a term for that, and I'm just coming up short because it's the end of the week on a Friday.
It's all good. We'll just say agriculture in general.
Yeah, but like the way that like that animals are treated when they're like, it's like, you know.
Processed. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and like whole hordes of cows or whatever were going to become hamburgers and all that stuff. I started reading up on things like that, on how chickens are treated, and was pretty horrified. And actually what's really wonderful about that phase in my life is that it really just translated over to, so like veganism didn't stick. I felt like crap. Hair, skin, everything kind of really just wasn't working for me. Okay. And it clearly wasn't working with my body. But having educated myself on those things, now I can make better decisions about where I get my food and where I get my meat. And, like, I'm keto, but I'm also mindful of not going out and buying, like, making sure that things are, like, when possible, things are pasture-raised or cage-free or, you know, free-range, things like that. And, like, being mindful where I'm getting my food. So
cool.
You can be mindful of that stuff about like not wanting to hurt the animals and be keto. It is actually possible.
Agreed. And I mean, let's just be honest. I love pork fat. I'm sure you guys do too. So it's okay. I'll eat a pig every once in a while. All right. So here's a question that I think doesn't get asked enough or doesn't get discussed enough as if it's not a thing. And I really feel like I can't speak to it because I've been married to Rhonda for going on 5 years, which has been amazing. And so though we date, we make it a point to date at least once every week. We already know where we're going to eat and what we're eating. However, for that random person, and I think Brittany, you guys can both kind of speak to this. How does, especially in New York, how does like keto dating work? Because when the guy is like, oh, wow. You're dainty, but you're eating a steak like a boss. Like, how does that look? Because they expect you to order like a salad, right?
You know, I hadn't thought of that. So I hadn't really been dating, right? So like, I've just been kind of busy and hasn't been a super big priority for me. But you just made me think of something. I was at a party basically, and everybody was drinking and everyone was looking at me like, why aren't you drinking? I was like, oh, don't worry about it. I'm fine. Don't worry about it. I'm not drinking today. And didn't really go into the keto thing. Then the menus went around and this was hilarious. So all of the girls are ordering salads or like maybe chicken fingers. And they get to me and I'm like, I'm going to have the ribeye, and literally like got like cut it in half and did like, and, I remember at that point, one of the guys who was like giving me a hard time for not drinking looks at me and he goes, he figured it out immediately. He goes, are you doing the keto diet? And I was like, yeah. And like suddenly it was really funny. The whole like tone of the conversation shifted and it was like, oh, no way, man. Like, I totally respect that. That's so tough. I couldn't do it. Like, and it like gave me street cred. It was really funny. that wasn't a dating context, but that definitely, I don't know. I think it does garner a certain amount of respect, like more than just eating like cucumbers or lettuce or whatever. but aside from that, honestly, like I haven't really been dating just because it hasn't been a huge priority for me, but I have found that it's, or the way I've been viewing it is that like, it is kind of, an extra like level of a filter for me, just because I'm like, cool. If this is something that's going to turn you off, like this is probably long-term for me. Like this is like, not probably, like this is long-term for me. So if this turns you off right now, it's probably not going to work. And like being able to respect that, like that I make decisions based off of, doing what's best for my body and it's something that I'm constantly going to be prioritizing. Like it is kind of a representation of how I approach health. So if you've got an issue with it, it's probably not going to work.
so you probably won't date a vegan then, huh?
it was funny. I was like on an online dating site recently. I was on like Bumble or something. And I saw there was one guy who was vegan and I was like, I don't think I can do it. I don't. Like, I think, like, and think about the amount of number of groceries you would need.
That would be a lot.
I love it. But Peter, that said, I mean, my brother dates a vegan and he's keto, so he makes it work. But Brittany, what about you? What's your experience then?
I couldn't tell you the last time I went on a date. So, but on just the social side of it, honestly, that's the hardest part of it for me is, particularly in the first 6 weeks, when it was so much more strict about no sugar and no, no anything fun. from macadamia nuts. It was a lot harder to be able to plan and to go to dinner with people and to not feel like, everybody's like, oh, well, can you eat there? Or like it was like dealing with people, not intentionally, but making you feel like you are taking away from their fun if you cannot indulge in the same things that they are indulging in. That has been and continues to be, depending on the day, a huge struggle. It's normally a struggle on the days that I am struggling to not give it to cave in, like the days that I want to eat that way. And I'm like, you're not helping this right now. And like, otherwise I'm like, guys, it's really fine. It doesn't bother me for you to sit here and eat your Pizookies in front of me. Like that doesn't bother me. The chips and guac, like it's fine. But the days that it does bother me, then when they're like, I think I'm just more hypersensitive to it when that happens. Yeah,
for sure. Peer pressure's like that, I think, in general, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, but that happened even before I was keto. Like, that would happen when I was the one ordering a salad instead of the pasta at Piatta or getting...
or not ordering the Pizookie, what everyone else was.
Yeah, that didn't happen super often. I mean, it did, like, but normally I would cave. Like, if it wasn't a hard no, a lot of times I would end up giving in. Like, I would at least have a couple bites. Like, I may not order the whole Pizookie, but I would split one with someone. I think keto just seems so much more extreme to other people it is more extreme than other things, that people are a lot more hyper aware of what it is that you're eating. And that it's so different from what they are eating normally.
Yeah. Yeah. So you brought up a good point. Go ahead, Lauren, you were going to say something.
Oh, sorry. Well, no, you can. Okay. So the thing that I latched in on and that you said is that like, I've definitely noticed the same thing, which is that, people kind of shame you, like kind of diet shame you, And I had to, it took me a while to realize that it actually has nothing to do with you. It's like,
oh, absolutely.
It has nothing to do with you. Like, it's literally that they want to make decisions to eat certain things without being reminded that there are people out there who make healthier decisions, and mm-hmm. they don't want to feel bad about making those decisions, and having you make decisions to honor that your diet, or honor your body, and things like that. It's like a reminder to them that they're not, right. and it makes them feel guilty. And I don't think that this is a totally conscious thing. I don't think anybody's like intentionally making you feel like crap, but it's like,
no, I mean, cause it really, like, to your point, it does generally makes them feel guilty, or, and maybe it's not like totally guilty, but at a subconscious level, they're like, so it does, it's not as much fun. Like, I remember when I'm eating and snacking, it's not as much fun to do it by yourself than if the person alongside you does it with you. And part of that's because while you're sitting there eating it, there's a part of you that feels bad about there being good and I'm not.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean, exactly. It's like cheat days. It's totally, I mean, Lauren, you could attest to this now, right? Like, you did your cheat day with your brother. He was there.
Yes.
Brittany, you've done cheat days with me and Rihanna. Like, it's so much more fun when you can be fat with someone else.
It's way more fun when you are doing it with other people.
Yeah. I think that's normal based on what we know. I think one of the things that you said, is that it's extreme, right? Like, people say keto is extreme. And I always hone in on that because I feel like everyone has that thought process, right? But at the end of the day, like, if you want to be like the Jack LaLanne of the world, where you are older and healthier and not pre-diabetic at 35, that you can walk up a bunch of flight of stairs and not be winded, where you're not on a bunch of medications, like, those things factored in the life that we live and the society that we're in are extreme, right? Like, everyone we know is on a medication. It is absolutely normal to find someone that's battling with anxiety and depression and intestinal issues and irritable bowel syndrome and all of these other things that have become the new normal. I feel like keto is extreme in that thought process, but it is totally better to be extremely tuned into our health and our nutrition than it is to be moderately okay with the fact that we are extremely sick. Mm-hmm. Or at least that's how I have wrapped my mind around consistently doing this, sustaining it long term, and considering doing a year of no sugar. I even as I say that, I'm like, I don't know, man. That means my birthday. Like, I wouldn't have cake. But at the same time, like, I don't know. It might happen.
You could just start the day after your birthday, and then it would like be a perfect.
Ah, but then what about Christmas and Thanksgiving and
Easter? Oh, yeah, see, that's how you pick.
It's like... So many struggles on that one. We'll see. I'm not committed to it yet. So that's awesome. I think the other thing that you guys, you know, both can attest to, but Lauren, I really want to hear your thought process on this is, so I know you travel a lot for work. I don't want to say a lot, but like a decent amount. And you're in those lovely conference meetings where you're coaching, and I know we've had this discussion offline with like people bringing in amazing food and stuff like that. How does that look for you? How has that felt? What are your mental struggles been surrounding that? And, you know, have you felt like you've been more empowered having resisted those things, or have you caved in and eaten an entire cookie?
I actually have not. So when I've cheated or when I've like gone off plan, it has not been, I've been very proud. It has not been to eat the cookie. It's been to like eat the macadamia nuts. It's a weird thing that happens. You go from being like sitting there and fantasizing about like pizza and cookies to thinking like literally now I think about steak. I think about pork belly. I think about bacon. Like that's what I'm thinking about all day. If I'm thinking about food, which I probably am not actually. But, yeah, so, I mean, it's been a journey, right? So, like, in the beginning, I think especially right when I started, I was doing a ton of traveling for work. I was on a lot of different trainings. And you were awesome. You worked with me to make sure that I had the food I needed to and was hitting my macros even when I was on the road. And I think initially it was tough just because there is, like, when you're traveling, I don't know, I personally always associated traveling with like going and trying new food. That's kind of how I would experience like culture and new cities. I was like, which restaurants should I go to? And I still am like that. I still love food. But it was a little bit jarring initially not to be able to like experience things that way. And, yeah, but then It would get particularly challenging, like Brittany said, when on days when I was super stressed or tired, and then it's like someone would sit down in front of me with like my favorite thing in the entire world, and I'm just sitting there and I was like resentful, so resentful that I can't be eating this right now. But then it there was a pretty dramatic shift where it's like now I'm kind of just in a rhythm where I'm like, the other people are eating their lunch and I've got my keto coffee and I'm sitting there and like everybody, you know, they're eating whatever they're going to eat. And I really like my keto coffee. And I know I've got a pretty sweet meal for me waiting at home or, you know, somewhere else that frankly I want more and that makes me feel better. So, yeah. And I mean, I think you also start to, especially when you're traveling, you start to like figure out what exactly it is that you need. So I have like travel, like measuring spoons, and I have little like travel containers of MCT and travel containers of ghee and stuff. And I've gotten to the point where like now when I go visit my parents, I'm not traveling as much for work anymore, but now when I visit my parents, like I know what to tell them to get. I know like I can order some things on Amazon and have them there for when I get in. Like you just sort of start to get into a rhythm and think about this stuff, and it starts fitting into your life.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Great answer. Brittany, how do you feel? I mean, I know you're in Cincinnati. Like, how was it for you to travel today?
So that kind of travel doesn't bother, like, I still really struggle with feeling the need on, like, when I'm driving a road trip, like, just that habitual eating, like, snacking, coffeeing, whatever. Yeah. Like, that's just, and some days I do better with it than others. And sometimes I just build it in. Like, I know that, like, I'm going to want to snack or I'm going to want to eat during my drive. And so I will hold off on drinking my keto coffee until I hit the road, or I will, have like my serving or my macadamia nuts or my Wisps or what, like, I just bring along keto friendly snacks so that if I, and sometimes I don't want them and sometimes I do want them. And so rather than always feeling like I am keeping myself from eating something, or depriving, like making myself feel deprived of something, it's like, I'll eat it. For me, I will definitely say travel is the biggest barrier for me mentally with keto, because like Lauren said, when you're going and you're experiencing a new place, the food is a huge part of the culture and the scene that you hear about. And like that, it, like when you read about things to do or things to go or places to go, there's always the first, however many are food related. Yeah. So I've gotten the chance to do quite a bit of traveling, just socially. And I have really just had to play in my trips. Like as much as I hate it, my food and when I can cheat and like what my schedule is determines my travel schedule, because I know that for me and where I'm at right now, I'm setting myself up for failure. If I go and try, like looking at taking a trip to New Orleans, I'm not going there when I have to stay strictly keto, because I know that there's too many things that I would want to try. And I would totally talk myself into, you're in New Orleans, how often are you going to get to go and experience these things? Like,
the rationalization.
Yeah. So instead I just let that determine my travel schedule. But really when it's me going and exploring a place or doing it on a social scene, it's so much like, that's when it's hard for me. If it's, like a work conference or it's something like that, I really don't have as much of a problem with, being pretty strict about it. It is hard when I'm home just because there's so many, I call them nostalgia foods, that are around, and there's just so much that's easy, just like snackable, like mindless eating type of stuff. So there's times that like, I'm like, oh, I really want to do that, but it's not nearly as hard, to be traveling at home or traveling with family and stuff, as opposed to when I'm going and exploring new places. I've just learned I have to plan accordingly for that.
No, I feel you. And I mean, I guess for me, when I started keto, I was traveling way more than I am right now. And so I guess my adventures turned into, you know, what city could I be in and stay keto and what the options were. Like, I'd travel to Texas a lot, and I was always just like, hey, so what barbecue joints am I going to hit? And what are the barbecue items that are going to be on the menu that I could indulge in? And like, I will say, Lauren, we've been working very specifically on certain goals that you've had. So you've had these very tight parameters at which you can stay. Mm-hmm. The wiggle room has been minimized, but...
But she has a six pack, so...
Oh, no, I don't. Yes, she does. It's getting...
Okay,
took the boat.
Yeah. Let's digress. But I think that being able to travel through different areas and not have to... Like, be able to stay keto, but not necessarily have to stay within a certain macro... parameter makes it a lot easier and more enjoyable. At least it has been my experience to do that.
Yes. So I'm feel like that's looking forward cool. to that.
Yeah, I mean it makes it so much easier. I know Rihanna's like king of, oh well, I don't have to track today because we're gonna be in XYZ place and I'll just stay keto. So I mean that's cool.
She's probably queen of it, not king, but the same.
Yeah. Okay, you're right, queen, sorry. I have such a sexist mind apparently. But having said that, just what do you think same. Yeah, if you could give like one huge piece of advice that you've either given yourself during this journey or if you had to talk to someone, because I know a lot of people will randomly approach you now about keto based on your posts and seeing you and all that kind of stuff. What would that like one huge piece of advice be to them now that you've kind of been 10 weeks in on this journey?
Well, you know, and I feel like the first thing that comes to mind is almost, it feels hypocritical because I've been... what feels like so far from perfect, like the number of times I've called you and I've been like, so I ate like an extra, like three slices of bacon, or I ate like two extra handfuls of macadamia nuts. Like I just totally freaked out. I'm like, rah, like it happens. But I think the thing that, that I would tell people is that the stricter you can be initially, the more leeway you'll have later. So like you'll hit your goal faster, you'll get fat efficient faster, which gives you more metabolic flexibility so that like you can cheat if you want to. You can be like Brittany and it won't even kick you out of keto. Like, so I think doing that, like being strict like that really does pay off. And it's something that I have to tell myself every single time that I'm like, you know, and I've gotten to the point where when I'm tempted, I'm not tempted by non-keto food. I'm tempted in the moment that I'm making my dinner and I'm like, I would really like another two bites of cheese. Like, I just want to be able to like snack and like kind of have some autonomy around what I eat.
Which you'll get there.
And I think that's part of it is like the better I am now, the sooner that happens, like the sooner that this can just seamlessly become part of my life where like I can go out with friends and they can order whatever and I can order a steak and like
eat the whole steak.
I can eat the whole steak.
And put garlic butter on it and totally enjoy it.
Yes. Which sounds amazing. I'm like, that's literally all I want. So, yeah. Like you literally will get, oh, and that's the other thing. Like the things that I think, and you told me this, but the things that you want or you think you want completely change by the time all of this, like, you know, once you get further into this. And like, I think my cheat was a perfect example of this. Like I had such a sugar issue, like just loved like chocolate. Like I could have just sat there with like a bar of milk chocolate and for the rest of my life and been completely fine. That's all I wanted. And now I'm like, it's kind of fun, like the first bite when it's still in my mouth, but then after I swallow it and like my body's processed it, now I feel horrible. And like, so, and suddenly realizing that I'm actually craving keto foods, and I'm craving more savory things and stuff like that. So like, it's going to be, I think it's understanding that it's very, very hard initially. And it takes a lot of, discipline and focus and all of this stuff, but like, it's absolutely worth it. Like, and you just have to stick with it. Because and once you get there, it's self-sustaining.
Cool. Agreed. Brittany, your thoughts on that? What do you think? I mean, if you had to give advice for some of that, I mean, Lauren's your friend, right?
Yeah.
So if you had to like, someone's like, hey, Brittany, I'm going to start keto tomorrow. I think my biggest thing is I'd tell people, ask me questions and don't look anywhere else. I mean, like,
yeah.
Keep wanders off.
I was going to say.
That is literally, like, advice that I've given people. I'm like, just don't even read anything. Just talk to my guy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, that was ultimately what I told Lauren. Like, I was like, I don't know. I understand it well enough to follow it, but I don't understand it well enough to be able to truly answer questions, like, outside of experience type of things. And I do get nervous when people tell me that they're starting keto or like they're doing keto. I'm kind of like,
do you
really do keto or do you do like fat keto? Or are we talking like, I don't know.
Cyclical keto.
Yeah. Like, I'm like, what are we talking here?
What lie are you saying right now?
What did you say?
I said, what lie are you telling me right now? Not you, but these people. I had someone, so we just had someone came, they came and, so you guys know we moved, and for you listeners out there, my wife and I moved. With that said, the cable guy was here, and I mean, I felt so bad for this guy. Like, he's completely overweight, and we've never had a cable here, so they were having to install it and drill holes and do all this crazy stuff. And I could just hear him panting like he was about to have a heart attack. And you know, Rihanna's like, please don't tell him about keto. Like, let the man do his job. And I'm like, dude, you're gonna die. I didn't tell you. So by the time like this whole installation process is done, which is like 4 hours later, I'm like, bro, I'm gonna give you a website. I need you to go check it out and let's talk keto. And he proceeds to tell me that his wife has lost 60 pounds in the last 3 months via keto. And I'm like, that's fantastic. That's awesome. And he's not doing keto, but he drinks a bulletproof coffee or a keto coffee with her every morning.
And I'm like,
dude, you're going to kill yourself. Like, you got to get rid of the carb. You can't just add fat into your life. So I feel like stuff like that is what it just makes me cringe. Right. I'm like, you are just adding fat on exponentially with every sip you take. Please stop. So yeah, I personally don't know what the one piece of advice would be, but I'm always interested to hear like what other people's thoughts are on like, hey, don't do this or please do that, because we've got to. I mean, like, it's our responsibility, and when I say our, I mean everyone that does keto, everyone that's listening to this, that's had their life change, whether it's based on weight, mood, awareness to their emotional connection to food, to really share their own personal story with everyone else. I feel like it's our responsibility because there's so many people out there that are losing their life, dying, living in this depressed mood imbalance world with very little hope to change it. And I don't think there's enough out there and enough people really committed to helping them do things correctly. So, you know, that I guess that would be my advice. Lean in on those people.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Lauren, you're 10 weeks in. I would absolutely love to have you back on once we get you like even further along the journey, like to the point where you are free roaming and just eating keto intuitively without the very strict parameters I have set for you now.
I'm so excited for it. I'm so excited for that part. I can't even tell you, but yeah, it's, hopefully it'll be relatively soon because I feel like I have more momentum now that I kind of know that I'm really not missing anything by foregoing some foods. So
yeah, you're totally weeks out. So I think that you're so much closer than you know. And as long as we can continue with this momentum that we've gained from your cheat and the realization that you really don't want any of those things.
I really don't. I do still want more pork belly and more macadamia nuts. Like, that's probably not going to go away anytime soon, but I'm kind of okay with it because I at least feel pretty confident that those won't kill me. So,
no, I promise that they won't. I thank you so much for taking the time to come on. I know that there are people listening that, you know, are single in corporate America, been doing paleo and vegan and every other thing under the sun and still not feeling and seeing the things that they want to. And can totally relate to and be inspired by your story. So thank you for sharing it. I appreciate that. Brittany, as always, thank you for keeping me balanced.
Hey, no problem.
If you didn't forget this.
Otherwise, you'd be calling Rihanna a queen or a king.
I love that I can rub off on people and have them make my own mistakes.
Yeah.
But we'll definitely have you back on. You know, we're here to help. Where can people find you if they want to like lean in on your coaching and or follow your journey as they continue, like your Instagram and those things?
Are you asking me or Brittany?
You. you?
Oh yeah. So it's, Lauren Borden Coaching is the Instagram. And also it's laurenbordencoaching.com will be the website. Although Lauren, it's not a,
sorry. Spell your name just because there's a lot of ways. Oh, yeah.
So Lauren Borden, Borden.
Coaching.
Okay. Yes. Or it's Dr. Lauren Borden Coaching. They go to the same place. And yeah, maybe we can link those or something in the bottom once those are up.
I'll link them in the show notes, I promise.
I'm still getting everything set. But yeah, I'm doing a lot of work right now, actually, that I think is really complementary to this and helps, like, draw some attention to, like, limiting beliefs people have around what's possible. And that's the kind of work that I love. So, yeah, feel free to reach out.
Will do. I will link you in the show notes for sure so that people can contact you. And then, of course, you know, for questions, comments, or concerns, people can email and or reach out to us with the contact info in the show notes. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. And we will all talk soon.